Do you remember the summer youth work program that was in effect in 1974?
Yes, we put those programs in effect. Had their good points and bad points. But the main problem was some of the youth you were trying to find jobs for didn't particularly want to work. They didn't care whether they worked or not. If they could goof off, that was fine with them. Well, the regulation was so strict. For example, a lot of times, as I recall, a 14-year-old couldn't even operate a lawnmower. Well, all of us had children at home. No 14-year-old has been operating a lawnmower for 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's just going up. But they felt like it was a dangerous tool, so they couldn't let a 14-year-old operate a lawnmower. Or you couldn't put him out there by himself. He had to have supervision. Well, it got to the fact where you had to have almost every person working, we had to have a supervisor for him. So it got those programs. It's a shame they got treated that way, but it's just the intention was good, the purpose was good, to activate people, provide jobs to people. But it just got sort of lost in all the paperwork. They still have it, I think. It's still going on or something. Some of them are better than others, but it's somebody's attempt to try to activate those kids.
When did Jacksonville get its first computer for the city?
Oh, me. Well, we had, how many years now? 20 years, 15 years ago. Somebody will have to tell you the exact date, because I don't remember. Things were getting kind of big around there, and you'd have to put more people on and do it better one, do it more efficient than one, so we were convinced to get to build the computers. And the utility system always had a billing machine type thing, so the straight computer the city went on. You have to have some of those ladies operate. The one that's there now, put it in. So it's been, I think, a good move over the years, having computers. Obviously, you can't do without people.
And my last question is, what do you consider to be your greatest contribution or legacy to the city of Jacksonville?
Ms. Adams, Jacksonville, and as I look back and growing up, Jacksonville's always been a nice town. It's always had a lot of wonderful people in it, merchants, business people, university people, professors, church people. We always try to get along pretty well together. But I thought Jacksonville needed to grow, to improve, to provide for itself internally. And I've said this on many occasions. I mean, I wanted Jacksonville to become self-sufficient. To the total amount it could. In other words, just for many years we did not have a department store in Jacksonville. It's not that. Walmart was here. We didn't have a doctor's or hospital to take care of our sick people. Well, we do have a very fine doctors and hospitals now. You don't have to go out to Jacksonville. Now, you may not, it's hard to believe, but you could not hardly buy a meal in Jacksonville many years ago. We had very, very few restaurants. As far as I remember, growing up in Jacksonville with my family, I do not ever remember going out to eat a meal in Jacksonville. So we have some nice restaurants in town now. Many services we have that provide for our people that we didn't have, and that's what I was interested in. The retirement system for our employees, I thought, was a major contribution that we made at that time. We had some very fine city council over those years working with me and supporting me and encouraging me and stood behind me when these issues got kind of hot. We need to clean up our town. We need to have our town streets clean. We need to have curve and cutter, and all these things were very important to me to have a get the town out of the mud, so to speak. We've been spending, and I started this practice, over $100,000 annually on street improvements. This is the money that's come in from gasoline tax from the state, had to be earmarked for streets. So I got the council back in those days to say that this money is going to be spent annually for street improvements. We picked out streets to resurface. And we pick out that many streets every year and we resurface them. So I think Jackson has some as good a street as any town in the country. We have an 891 fire station and ambulance service to serve our people. You can, before they went into effect, you got sick, you had to be picked up by the hearse. The funeral director of the hearse to take you to the hospital in Aston or where it is in Birmingham. We have a new police department. Jail. It's first class. It costs about $300,000. But it's a place where you can incarcerate individuals, men and women, in a clean, healthful, violent environment, and not be ashamed of it. Not be a filthy place. We have an 891 library. We have an excellent city library. They bought the old post office building. That occurred while I was in office. Fortunately, this post office wanted to build a new post office, and we sort of conned them into letting us have that, the old building, for the city library. So we were very happy with that. The telephone, just a little thing like a telephone, we're all in the same exchange with Anniston and Piedmont. You know, you never realize it, but we used to have to call long distance, call Anniston. Piedmont felt like an outsider when he had to. Because just recently we began to call Piedmont on the same exchange. And we are cooperating in many ways as a county, which we didn't have before. We use Jackson Piedmont cooperate with a landfill. We have this Coosa Valley Detention Service, which is a youth detention thing, which counties and cities cooperate. We have the East Alabama Planning Commission, which we cooperate with. At the Metropolitan Planning Agency, which we cooperate with as far as transportation. I just think the community has grown up, which I'm proud to say it happened. Become more sophisticated. It's outgrown its total dependence on any one particular side of the community, whether it's been the mill village, or whether it's been the university, or whether it's been the military. Jackson is very well diversified. Now, in other words, the port going down would hurt us, but I don't think it would ruin us. The university was cut back, it would hurt us, but we've got these other things now that are taking up the slack. And don't get me wrong, it's very important and it would make a major impact on our community. But I just think we have and that's what I work for, a well-rounded, improved community where people have their say-so, have an opportunity to express their opinions. A government that was responsive to the people. Of course, people are going to say, I was headstrong and I would listen and I did so-and-so. I did that only because I thought that was needed and necessary and that's what it's going to take to get it done. But I served from 64 to 68 as a member of the city council. Served from 68 to 76. At that time, a certain citizens group got involved and got mad at the hospital and thought we were financing it wrong. So I was not in office then, but 1980 I came back in and served three terms until 92, I think it was, and when I was defeated that time. So I've won some and I've lost some. And I've been in business in Jackson since 52. I think we have a great community, fine people. We got a few rough spots, but so are the other communities.
Is there anything you would like to wish Jacksonville for the future or that you would particularly like to see come about in Jacksonville?
Well, I'm still interested in Jackson, of course, and I think the future is ahead of us. We've got a lot of a strong base in which to build on. I don't know of anything in particular. There are going to be some things that are going to pop up that are going to create some problems, like zoning or taxes or education. All these things are going to influence us. The Pullman Club closing or not closing is going to be a major factor. What to do with the fort? That's going to be a big issue, whether industrial site or educational site or landfill site or recreational site. The potential out there is tremendous. You've got Pullman Farm property, you've got Pelham Road property, Pelham Range property. Something's going to have to happen about transportation, highway improvements. I don't know. Somebody says they got 40,000 cars a day coming through there on Highway 21 and 431 intersection. That's a lot of cars. Mm-hmm. It probably built up about 20-something thousand. Road between Jackson and Piedmont and Jackson and Hampton is improved over the years, and I'm afraid it's going to have to be enlarged even more so.
Would you like to see maybe a limited access road between Jacksonville and, say, I-20?
I would love to see a road take off to I-20 to White Plains over there. I think that would be a great way to go. But I thought we'd have a bypass on East Aniston by now, but we haven't yet. So I don't know what's going to take place. We've got to move people if we're going to continue to grow. We can't follow that. So I don't know. It's not going to be easy to solve some of those problems. It's going to be expensive. That's another thing that worries me about cities and governments. People want government to seemingly do more and more, and they want to give them less and less to do it with. This is both the federal and state and national and local level. The government can't solve all of our problems. People won't have to do it. I don't know. I've enjoyed talking to you about Jacksonville, I think. We've just barely covered the current history of Jacksonville. I want to encourage you to do more.
Well, thank you very much. This has been Mr. John Nesbitt talking about the history of Jacksonville from basically the late 1950s up through the present. Thank you very much, Mr. Nesbitt.
Thank you.